how are you doing? Later on, switch on the TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are you doing?
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Okay, I think I'm on. Just pulled my headphones off, but I'm on. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and another dynamic show tonight, Thursday night. And we are here by the grace of Almighty God, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, bringing you the truth that you need to waken up to what's going on around you, ladies and gentlemen. And there is a lot going on around us. Don't forget tomorrow night, Friday night, get together with Scott Smith and myself. And that's right at 8 o'clock Central. Now, of course, we will be back on next week, God willing. And we are planning some interesting guests. An Iranian, we are going to talk with, oh my goodness, we're going to talk with, I believe, either Chris Semcox or Gilchrist. I believe it's Jim Gilchrist we're going to be speaking to from the Minuteman Project, and John Clark again, because that rally in Washington is set for next week, February 8th. So we hope to be able to do that as well. Tonight, first hour, we have planned to bring you, and we have him on the line, none other than... Who is it? Yes, indeed. Jared Taylor. He's been certainly a household word in many quarters, including here at RVN. I've never interviewed him, but tonight will be my opportunity. And, of course, Jared is the original founder of American Renaissance, and he joins us right now. Hello there, Jared Taylor.
Good evening. How are you?
All right. Good. Very good. My name is Rick Adams, and I'm ready to go.
Yes, anyway, sir, so am I.
Jared, I've been reading a little bit of the websites on the, you know, the internet about you, by you, and of course the what the ADL says. So I guess I've become a little bit thrilled at what I read when I see that someone like yourself is not too popular with certain groups like the ADL. So
no, that's a badge of pride these days.
I guess it is. Yes, I guess so. Anybody who earns their hate or their wrath certainly can't be. He can't be on the wrong side of the angels. That's for sure. And I want you to give me a little thumbnail sketch of you and basically what you're trying to do.
Well, certainly. I'm the editor of American Renaissance. That's a monthly publication. I can hardly believe I've been putting it out for 17 years now. But the purpose of American Renaissance is to call attention to the legitimate rights of all people, white people. Everybody else has got their own groups and political organizations and movements and magazines trying to press the interests of Hispanics, blacks, Asians. But whites are not supposed to have legitimate interests, apparently, whereas, of course, we do. And it's really to the end of pressing for our own interests. If we don't look out for our own interests, certainly no one else will. And so the purpose of American Renaissance is to persuade whites that, first of all, they do have legitimate interests and how to go about advancing them.
Excellent, excellent. I see the clock ticking. When we come back, we'll explore some of those issues with you, Jared Taylor, and we'll invite people to call in right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned for more.
Corporate corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the full revere of talk radio.
Yes, indeed. Hello, we're back now. And Jared Taylor, you've expressed some ideas that are indeed revolutionary. You believe that that people of white persuasion should have the right to speak out on issues that pertain to them. That's a terrible thing. You realize that?
Well, I know it. As I have sometimes explained to people, 80% of what I say is obviously true, and the rest of it is just so loathsome it can't be refuted.
And you have debated and appeared on various shows, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I suppose, I've been on the Phil Donahue program several times.
I see that, yeah.
That was probably the appearance that got me the most response. Phil Donahue had me on for, about 15 minutes first, and then he thought, I better have him on for a whole hour. So he and I went head-to-head for an hour, and in all modesty, I think I wiped the floor with him.
What were his arguments when he was attempting to debate with you?
Much of the conversation had to do with the glories and benefits of diversity.
Uh-huh.
And I pointed out to him that if you look around the world, it is precisely the kind of diversity we're supposed to be celebrating, namely differences in race, religion, language, etc., that are the reasons why people are most diligently slitting each other's throats. Mm-hmm. It's when you have diverse people trying to share the same territory that you inevitably have conflict. And the idea that somehow we're going to improve our country by bringing in people who are as unlike ourselves as possible. It's amazing that so many people can believe, or at least pretend to believe, something that's so obviously untrue. Diversity results in tension, in weakness, and dissension. That was one of the things we talked about.
And, of course, Phil Donahue, who lives in a very exclusively white neighborhood, did not agree with you, right?
Well, there you go. It's just amazing how astonishingly hypocritical these people are. They're delighted. They're delighted for lower middle class and other whites to live next door to Mexicans who keep chickens in the backyard that crow, or live next door to blacks who are going to mug you when you walk down the street. That they think that's great. That's just sort of diversity they love. But one of the things I like to ask these liberals is, well, if you think that diversity is so great, and if you think that the United States, by accepting third world immigrants, is just improving in leaps and bounds, can you tell me one majority non-white neighborhood you'd like to live in? Or one majority non-white school you'd be willing to send your children to? And of course they can't. But they think that it's just great that by the middle of the century, whites are going to be reduced to a minority.
Now, did you have the chance or opportunity to ask Phil that rhetorical question?
I did.
And?
As they always do, he just mumbled and fumbled and changed the subject.
It is amazing, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
I'm in New England here, and, you know, it never ceases to amaze me that people who speak the loudest about diversity and advocate multiculturalism and all of those good things are the ones that almost invariably, and there are a couple of exceptions, but 98% of the time live in the really, really white rural neighborhoods, as far removed from their own social experimentation as they can get.
That's
I always
right.
marveled at that.
Well, the amazing thing is that they can get away with it, that the public, the press, I guess it's because our rulers and the people who tell us what we're supposed to think, they all practice the same hypocrisy, so they think that if they just keep it a secret and never talk about it amongst themselves, the rest of us will never notice. But
that's absolutely true. The media are just one big ball of wax.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting about it, Jared, is that I have seen in my neck of the woods people who are in the NAACP and other groups that supposedly speak for the American black, and they have moved out of their city life and done the same thing. They have moved as far away as they possibly can from their own people. And I've always marveled at that as well.
Well, you know,
it's just something I can't help but observe, you know. And
well,
I'm not going to draw a major conclusions, but I would like to know why that is the case. And I have yet to find a satisfactory answer, I will tell you.
Well, you see, that's a real question for me, too. In doing the kind of work that I do and engaging in the kinds of public conversations I do, I have I've had some interesting exchanges with separatist blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was one guy, his name was William Brock, a very interesting fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the things that white people do. You know, they encourage non-whites to come into their neighborhoods. They denigrate their own history. They think that it's virtuous to step aside and be replaced by others. And he said, you know, this guy doesn't particularly like whites. And so he says, you know, I'm all for it, really, but tell me, why are white people committing suicide? It took a black person to realize that and ask the question. And I had no good answer for it. I just don't understand.
That's true, what you say. And I see that some people, obviously, no matter what you say, will say you're hiding behind issues. But in reality, Jared Taylor is a very refined and intellectual racist. And how do you respond to that?
What I say about that is whenever somebody starts calling you a racist, it's a sure sign that you are winning the argument. Because when somebody calls you a racist, he's just calling you names. He's not making an argument anymore. It's because you have defeated him that he's reduced to calling you names.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say, well, this is the most graceless way you can show that you've lost the argument. You might as well call me a poo-poo head. It's
or
as
a
meaningful.
Wife beater or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tactic they use. Wife beater, killer of children, you know, murderer, racist, Nazi,
right.
Anti-Semite, whatever.
Exactly.
And that usually stops all debate. Now, not so with Jared Taylor.
No,
you don't quit at that point, do you?
See, these days, you can say things. All you need to do is say something that is factually, irrefutably true, but uncomplimentary about non-whites, and you can be called a racist for telling something that is not only true, but that's something that everyone knows to be true. For example, if you speak in any kind of detail about race and crime rates, if you point out that blacks commit murder and they commit robbery at 8 to 10 times the white rate, and you have the statistics to prove it, that in itself makes you racist. It doesn't matter if it's true. You're a racist just to talk about it. So these days, if you were afraid to talk about anything that could conceivably get you accused of racism, you'd be left just reciting the Lord's Prayer or singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and maybe that could get you in trouble.
Well, you better be careful. You better not sing White Christmas around that time of year.
Well, there you go.
You know, it's the time of Kwanzaa, and we know how important Kwanzaa is because in every newspaper I've read about it, it certainly takes more newsprint space than I see with regard to Christmas.
So. That's right.
That's a fact, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's not my viewpoint, but it's what we all can see.
Yes, and I think it's interesting also, I remember reading just this last Kwanzaa season about a white woman married to a black person who was going with her husband to a Kwanzaa celebration, and she was told no, she couldn't take part because the Kwanzaa celebration was only for black people.
Isn't that incredible? Huh? You know, I mean, they talk about, you know, one-sided or two-sided racism. You know, there is nothing wrong, as I've said repeatedly, with one of a particular race being proud of his own race. And by the way, you know, I don't think I have ever denigrated people of different races. I have suggested maybe that people should be a little bit more careful when they intermarry, when they get involved with social experiments and social experiences, that they try to do what is natural. And natural means having to do with sticking with people whom you have most in common with. Now, just so happens, color is one of those things. Now, why is it sinful in the eyes of the politically correct media elite that white people should do that, but it's okay that blacks should do that, and it's okay that Jews should do that, and it's okay that Chicanos and Puerto Ricans and others should do the same thing? And generally, that's true in every racial group, particularly if you go to Asia. You will find a great dislike for blacks amongst Japanese and Chinese, and that's simply a fact.
Yes.
So why is that? It's just the white guy that has to be clobbered over the head day in and day out, Jared, with a baseball bat that, like a big, a big slugger. Hit him over the head.
I know.
Why? Why?
You see, I wish I had an answer to that question. I've been puzzling about this for 20 years, and I don't have an adequate answer. I think that, there are a lot of partial answers. You can look at the kind of introspection and unhappiness that Europe went through after the First World War. There was all kinds of feelings of guilt. How did we do this horrible thing? Then there was the Second World War, not long after that. Oh, how did we get into this horrible thing? There was Hitler, of course. But none of that really explains why white people, who up until, say, 50 or 60 years ago, had a vivid sense of their own destiny, of their own interests, of their own future as a people, now have suddenly turned into these spineless wimps who can't stand up for themselves, who can't say, yes, I prefer my people, I prefer my culture, and I want them to survive and prosper.
Amen.
Every group can say that.
And they should, by the
way.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back, and we'll take some calls in a few moments. Stay tuned. Jared Taylor, our guest. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. Join us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With Valentine's Day rapidly approaching on February 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The classic rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts. And when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we're back. Jared Taylor, our guest, American Renaissance Magazine. And Jared, we have no lines available right now. People want to speak to you.
Well,
so why don't we take some calls?
By all means.
All right, let's do it. 800-313-9443 when there's a line available. Let's start off with Jeff in Mass. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, yes. Mr. Taylor, I have a very cynical thought of why the politicians live in white neighborhoods but let the other neighborhoods turn into a third-world country, and that's because these politicians and these hacks and these race hustlers are making money hand over fist over this stuff. This is a racket. It's no different than the mafia taking trash up to a pristine neighborhood and charging the people who are dumping the trash an exorbitant fee. You know that we are taking in the bottom 25% of all these third world countries, not the top 25%, but the bottom.
Right. Well, you see, but in the long run, and even in the short run, hardly anyone makes money out of the fact that we import people who are more likely to commit crime, more likely to drop out of school, more likely to take drugs, go on welfare, more likely to overrun our emergency rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody benefits from that. The only people that benefit, and this only very temporarily, from third world imports are people who want to hire low-grade labor. They get a cheap guy who's going to swing a pick or dig holes with a shovel or lay piping or something like that. But that is a very, very short-sighted thing, because although he may be only paying $7 an hour, if you take all the other social costs of these people into consideration, the real cost is probably $70 or $100 an hour that society is paying for that guy to dig a hole or to lay a roof. And so, no, I don't think Hillary Clinton, for example, the fact that we have now 20 million Mexicans living in this country, that doesn't make her life better. It doesn't. She doesn't make money off this. She all she gets out of it, so far as I can tell, is some sense of moral superiority when she thinks about people like us who would prefer that the country remained majority white. That's the only benefit that I can see in it for someone like her. Eventually, her children and their children, if we continue this way, are going to be a despised minority, and her descendants are going to suffer from the very things that you and I are all conscious of. I just don't see the benefits in it.
Well, I slightly disagree with you. I mean, you're right about most of what you said, but I slightly disagree with you because, look, when you have hack jobs and so forth, you build up social programs. Just like Kennedy. Kennedy has his little compound.
I was just going to mention the Kennedys, and I'll get to them later, but go ahead.
Yeah, Kennedy has a little compound, probably with armed guards surrounding it. So what does he care? So simply put, you build your voters, you build your hackerama, you put your pals in these programs for $30 an hour for these programs, because somebody has to build the projects, somebody has to build the ghettos, labor, of course, and somebody has to have man the social programs, and the shyster lawyers are making money with these immigration cases, these vultures. So,
but you see that's really a very small part of the economy benefiting. Mm-hmm. All the rest of us, when we find that the schools that our children attend, half the students don't speak English, or that when there's a PTA meeting, you have to have 20 interpreters in the room because the Iranians and the Guatemalans and the Haitians don't speak English, we pay a tremendous cost, and the majority of Americans realize we pay a tremendous cost, and that's why the vast majority of Americans, according to polls, 60, 70, 80%, want less immigration. People are hopping mad about this. I really think that aside from the very few people to whom you can point and say, okay, this guy made a buck on immigration, that number is very small. For the rest of us, for the rest of the people who approve of immigration, as I say, I think it's a kind of a moral self-slapping on the back and saying, I'm not a racist. Look at me. I'm all for open borders. I don't mind if the country becomes Hispanic or black or Haitian or Guatemalan. Those people have this sense of moral superiority that they have to constantly feed, but eventually it will reach them too. They can't run forever. They run and they run. But the very lily-white neighborhoods that they live in and where they think they're safe, after a while, they'll go too.
Well,
yeah,
you're
very true.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And also, here's another dimension to this problem too, which is when you have more illegals and people like that coming over the border, they get power. When they get power, they get lobbies. Look, in Denmark, they published a comic portraying Muhammad with a turban shaped like a bomb and a fuse.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, these people get power.
But you see, look, illegal immigrants, they really have no political power at all. They can't vote. They can't even come out of the... a lot of them are afraid even to talk to police because they're afraid they'll be sent home. The idea that illegal immigrants have any kind of clout in Washington depends solely on the power of Hispanic lobbies, and they have a certain amount of lobby, and also on the fact that the press promotes this kind of multiracialism and multiculturalism.
Bingo.
And because whites are so susceptible to this kind of appeal to anti-racism.
Yes, guilt syndrome, no question. Jeff, thank you. We've got a break.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Yes, and we will talk to Doug and Richard and Dave and Clinton and Keith next, so stay tuned. There's one line available right now. Our guest, Jared Taylor. I'm Rick Adams. We shall return.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Okay, we are back with Busy Lines tonight. Jared Taylor, our guest, 800-313-9443. Let us go right back to our telephones. Doug in Texas, hi, you're on with Jared.
Yeah, hi, Rick. Jared.
Yes.
Jared, are you familiar with when the word racism appeared in the language? What
yes,
year?
It was in the 1930s. It was a sexologist by the name of Hirschberger or Hirschfeld. He was a German Jew who first invented that word.
He was a Jew, and he invented it in 1933.
Yes.
And now it's become to mean more than the word rapist. If you want to sully somebody's reputation, call them racist. Oh, I thought you said rapist. In other words, the words have become nearly synonymous.
That's true, but, you know, ultimately, you have to credit that fact to the spinelessness of whites. It's whites who shrivel up and back down when somebody calls them a racist. If we had more gumption, then that charge would not have the super effectiveness that it does. We have permitted the accusation of racism to become this deadly thing because it's whites who react to it. If we just shrugged it off and said, come on, say something original if somebody calls you a racist. this wouldn't have the effect that it does. It's really our fault. We have made it a nuclear weapon.
Jared, that's exactly what I do, and I'm sure that's what Rick does.
Yeah,
we just need more people out there that do that.
Exactly.
Because to me, it's just racist. My racist. You know, if a black person runs for any city council or whatever, they get 99% 1% of the black vote. The other one's, you know, miscued and didn't vote for the right person. If a Mexican does it, they are completely cohesive and they support their people. The Jews are 100% behind any Jew that runs for this or that or the other. But they're the ones that are feeding us this little pablum that if three white people agree on one thing, they're racist. So all that is a tool used against white people very effectively. Very effectively.
Well, it is a form of psychopropaganda, and the way you condition people to a Pavlovian response is exactly the manner in which these particular so-called sociologists operate. You know, these social engineers are the ones that have destroyed the public school system, which I'm not upset about, by the way. I think it's good that the public school system should be in such disarray. However, at the cost of the minds of the young people who are compelled to attend against their parents' wishes or because their parents cannot afford to send them, that is the real travesty, isn't it?
Oh, I quite agree. I quite agree. Back even in the days when we had resources sufficient only for one-room schoolhouses, we had far better education then than we do now with these multi-million-dollar high schools, expensive grounds and special counselors and everything else. When we had a much more coherent, racially homogeneous country in which we shared values, it was much, much easier not only to educate people, but to run the country in every respect.
And that's why when Earl Warren and the court got involved in local education matters against the constitutional prohibition with the Brown decision in 54, it wasn't so much that decision that was, you know, the be-all, end-all of revolution and communism and socialism, but it's what followed that decision. And just like forced busing that followed it, what followed forced busing was this whole package, this whole mantra of social engineering in the schools, from sensitivity training to all of these situational ethics and Fletcherism and so forth. This is the point that people overlook, I'm afraid, gentlemen.
Yes, that's certainly true. Brown versus Board of Education, that was the camel's nose under the tent.
Right, exactly.
And in fact, there are even liberals who, with a certain, whether they will be seized by a paroxysm of an honesty, and they will concede that Brown versus Board of Education was not founded on legal grounds. It
no,
was
and
not
Earl
a ruling.
Warren admitted that himself.
Yes, and when, in fact, the New York Times headline, the day the ruling came out, It even said something like, ruling based on hearts and minds, not law. They approved it, but they conceded even at the time that this isn't legal reasoning here. This is legislation from the court.
Absolutely not. And Gunmar Myrdle was the Swedish socialist upon whom people like Thurgood Marshall types and Earl Warren were basing their decision. What's good sociologically is constitutional, according to them. In their eyes, what's good. Not the consequences that followed. So, anyway, Doug, anything else before we move along?
Well, you're talking about Thurgood Marshall. He was one of the probably the brightest Afro-Americans that ever sat on the Supreme Court. And they asked him about the constitutionality of the income tax. And he said it really doesn't matter because it's necessary. We need to fund these programs. So, crude constitution, what we need to do is we've got a program to need to proceed forward with it. And he was one of the most brilliant legal minds that was ever put on the Supreme Court, I believe.
Marshall?
I don't know if we're speaking about the same Marshall, but at the very end.
Rick, you know, what I'm thinking.
I think you're being facetious.
I think you're being sarcastic.
I think you're being typically Doug.
Thank you.
All right, Doug.
Thank
We're
going to
move along. Thank you very much. You made the point, though, very well. 800-313-9443 is the number. And let's move along. Jared, you have a lot of interested callers. Richard in New Orleans. Hello there.
Good evening,
of
gentlemen.
All places.
Hi, Rick. Mr. Taylor.
Good evening.
I have two questions.
Go ahead.
First one, the short-sighted, shallow reasons you mentioned earlier that motivated these self-congratulatory, liberal-minded, feeble-minded idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel those are the same reasons that motivate George Bush to absolutely discount his oath to the Constitution and his alacrity with flooding our nation with illegal aliens? Second question, the great book, The Rising Tide of Color, Lothrop Stoddard's, would you comment on were his predictions that have come true, those that were wrong that he predicted, and your take on what is the future of America? I will hang up and listen and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, those are two tall orders.
Yes,
first
indeed.
Of all, when it comes to George Bush, I suspect that generally his motives for welcoming third world immigration are largely the ones that I discussed earlier, except with one difference. He has this utterly romantic notion of Mexico. He claims to be good friends with Vicente Fox, and I'm sure that he has had all sorts of very pleasant experiences with upper-crust Mexicans, and he probably has this goofy idea that the kinds of millionaires that he's palled around with and had expensive dinners with, they're the kind of people that are coming across the border. But the other aspect is that his brother Jeb is married to a Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he talks about his little brown nieces and nephews.
That's right.
So he has a family tie to Hispanics that most of us do not have. That, I think, those things in combination with the short-sighted and also self-congratulatory motives that I mentioned earlier make it particularly imperative for him to think that he's got to do the right thing. He's always talking about how family values don't stop at the border, whatever that means. I think by that he means that the people on the other side of the Rio Grande are basically just like us, because the folks that he's had, these millionaire pals of his, probably in many respects are just like us.
I think he's also referring to his globalist family as well.
That could very well be. We're all just one happy family together.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, as far as Lothrop Stoddard, he wrote The Rising Tide of Color. I believe he wrote that in the 1930s. It was really quite a remarkable prediction, because at the time, the white countries seemed not to have lost their nerve. In the 1930s, France, England had large empires. They had every intention of keeping them for hundreds of years. In the United States, we didn't have any of this foolishness about open borders. We still had an immigration policy designed specifically and deliberately to keep the country white.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a remarkable kind of clairvoyance for a person in the 1930s to recognize just what was happening. But Lothrop Stoddard, he could see it. He could tell even then that there was a crumbling, a psychological crumbling of whites, and at the same time, a kind of increased assertiveness of non-whites. And he could see it coming. I think The Rising Tide of Color is a remarkable book that still bears reading today.
Absolutely. No question about it.
The caller also asked what would be my predictions for, in effect, the demographic future of the United States.
Yes.
That's a very tough question to answer. However, well, I can see two possibilities. One is just increasing passiveness or continued passiveness by whites, whites being reduced to a minority, and the United States turning into a kind of northern version of Brazil. Brazil has a white minority that generally runs things, but most of Brazil is just this seething, teeming mass of non-whites. Many of them, the ones who run the thing, run the country, they live behind in these gated communities, they have armed guards wherever they go. They don't step out of their gilded cages, basically, whereas the rest of the country is a really rather a sordid mess. It has a kind of a first world economy and at the same time a third world economy. It has pockets of industrial excellence and then pockets of practically slave labor. I can imagine the United States moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. I certainly hope that does not happen. I think that as time goes on, and with the help of a broadcast like yours, and I hope with the help of publications like mine, more and more whites will wake up to this terrible crisis we face. And once enough whites realize that we are giving our country away to aliens, then they will decide, wait a minute, it's time we took it back. This is not, we do not want to leave to our children and grandchildren a third world country in which we are a despised minority. I have every hope that whites will wake up before it's too late and reestablish a country in which our values, our peoplehood are recognized and valued.
Well, I can't really disagree with that, and I think that's a healthy reality that all people of all continents need to recognize within their own respective communities.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another call here from Dave in Wyoming. Hello there, Dave.
Hello, good evening, and Rick, I appreciate your show tonight. You got another good show as usual.
Well, thank you very much. You got a question for Jared?
Yeah, I do. Jared, I appreciate what you're saying. I agree with you. I wanted to make a comment here.
All right.
Yeah?
You were wondering why this genocide seems to be taking place among the white people. Mm-hmm. Basically, 2% of the people control this country, and I think they're afraid of that sleeping giant that they've dumbed down with the media and put a guilt complex on it, movies like Roots and Dance with the Wolves and that kind of film that has kind of dumbed the white people down where they're afraid to say anything. Other, they think that they're going to be taken in the wrong direction.
Well, you're talking about Jews here.
Right. And I think they stand to benefit by having this multicultural society, because I was just reading a comment made by Rabbi Botek Shmuley, I think. He called for a year 2050, 100 million Jews, if they keep continuing to multiply in the world.
Well, I think that the aggregate effect of Jewish influence in the United States has unquestionably been liberal. I think, however, an increasing number of intelligent Jews are beginning to realize that if the United States turns into another Brazil, that certainly will not be good for them. At the same time, I think it's wrong to assume that somehow the reason the white man has turned suicidal is because Jews have told him to become suicidal. I think there are many obvious exceptions to this. Just take, for example, the Presbyterian Church in the United States. The Presbyterian Church is very opposed to what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Presbyterian Church has decided to divest itself from the shares of companies mm-hmm. that they think are contributing to oppressing the Palestinians.
Right.
So it would be hard to say that the Presbyterian Church is dancing to the tune of the Jews. On the other hand, when it comes to immigration, when it comes to special preferences for non-whites, when it comes to whites abasing themselves before every demand of other non-whites, the Presbyterians are about as bad as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this tendency to have a kind of a very loose racial sense of solidarity, I think that's something inherent in whites. I think that sometimes Jews have used that to what they thought was their own advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a mistake to blame what is really something that's wrong in us on the machinations of a small minority. This is not to say that the role of Jews is an utterly insignificant one and should not be examined.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true. But I think that too many racially conscious white people tend to blame what is really a failing of our own sense of solidarity mm-hmm. on the evil manipulations of a small minority.
That's very well put, I believe, Dave.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
Well, look what they did in South Africa and Rhodesia, you know, while they sold their own people out, and they thought maybe they wouldn't be next, you know. We'll give them the cat and the dog, and we'll hopefully be all right. It doesn't work that way.
I agree with you. I think you're right.
We had Deirdre Fields on a week ago, and you know she said that. She said this was the great liberal experiment. You know, everybody's going to love each other. Multiracial democracy. Well, look at what has transpired instead.
Well, that's
and
right.
You hear these liberals and these Zionists and others apologizing and saying, "Oh, we were wrong again." No, and don't wait for them to do it.
No, they certainly will not apologize.
No, and this is the tragedy, is that people are being wiped out, genocide is being committed, and you don't hear a word of peep. But when Steve Biko was beaten and tortured in prison, that made worldwide news every single day. Every single day for years. That tells you something, doesn't it, Jared, huh? And Dave?
There is no question that when whites behave badly to non-whites,
mm-hmm.
the press, but the white press, it's the white press itself, mm-hmm. goes crazy about
that. Yeah, sure.
You see, we are our own worst enemies. There's no other group that would behave that way. It's impossible to imagine, say, Indians all around the world just getting furious about something that Indians practiced in their own country.
Okay, on that note, we'll take a break and be right back. Thank you, Dave, for your call. We'll be back. Rick Adams.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
Yes, we are, and we are lively tonight as usual. Jared Taylor, our guest,
American Renaissance magazine. And, Jared, how do they get to your website? What's the best way to avail oneself of you?
It's Amren, A-M-R-E-N, .com. And if I might, I would love to boost our conference that we're holding later this month.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a great lineup of speakers. These are racially conscious white people from South Africa, from Australia, from Europe, as well as the United States. Nick Griffin, who was just acquitted mm-hmm. on the incitement of racial hatred charges in England, he will be coming over to speak. We have Drew Fraser, who is an Australian academic who caused a huge stink down under when he wrote that Australia would lose its Australian quality if it continued to let third worlders into the country. Sam Dixon, who maybe some of your listeners know, we're going to have a first-rate lineup, and you can still there's still places at the conference, and it's once again at Amren, AMREN.com.
Okay, very good. Let's take a call now from Clinton in Wisconsin. Hello, Clinton.
Hello, Rick.
Yes.
And hello, Jared.
Hello.
Look at our first question real fast and then some pontification, if you would. Have another Jared Diamond, the name ring a bell? Because he received a Pulitzer Prize for writing a book called Guns, Germs, and Steel,
yes.
The Taste of Human Societies. Have you read that?
I'm sorry to say I've not read the book, but I've read enough of reviews of it to feel as though I understand its arguments.
Well, I don't see how you could postulate the way you have because you haven't even read the seminal work on the subject matter that you're talking about, which is basically anthropology. And,
well,
so if I could, I really admired the insight that you expressed regarding the analogy of the United States becoming like Bolivia, because it's certainly pertinent, and I can accept that point of view. Except I would really encourage you to read this book as soon as possible, because you're very committed to the subject matter. It is the seminal work. For example, it really explains, I mean, there's some flaws in the reasoning, of course, but it does a good job of helping people understand why different peoples became, it was a result of people's differences in their environment that they found themselves in. Not biological differences like the Negroes did this or the Negroes didn't do that, so therefore the Mexicans are going to do this and the Mexicans are going to do that.
Well, you see, I think that reasoning is all completely artificial. I think that blacks are living in a state of chaos and poverty because they have inherent characteristics that result in that kind of behavior wherever you find them.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm asking you to accept is reading this book and understanding the truth that that's always been true for the Negro, but it's not necessarily an absolute in the context of the racial connotations, okay? It's other things, you know, like who domesticated plants in agriculture first? Who developed the writing? Who exposed others to germs? I mean, if you want to stay in a contemporary context, I'll put it in a perspective for you, for me as an individual. Now, I grew up in a Marine Corps family on a military base, so I've been with everybody. Then I spent all of the 20s in a penitentiary, so I've been with everybody. So when these New World Order adherents talk about that the stuff doesn't end at the border, I don't remember exactly how it was put, I understand a different meaning than other people may understand. Okay.
All right. We have the music and the break. Did you want to hang on, Clinton, or did
if
you
I
make
may,
the point?
And then
all right. We'll pursue this in just 1 minute, and then we'll take more calls. Thank you. And Jared Taylor, our guest. I'm Rick Adams.
In America, we value our liberty, but there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This super government will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org and keep America free.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.